on tolerance. Well, maybe the automatic assumption would be the famous Calvin Coolidge story. Calvin Coolidge was famously laconic. He gave very brief answers. And he went to church one day and came back, and his wife said, what did the preacher do? He said he preached. Well, what did he preach about? Sin. What did he say? He was against it. Tolerance is not so easy. It is all at once a very low bar. Oh, you know, my family tolerates my jokes. My children, well, they don't tolerate my singing, but it would be something to aspire to. Tolerating is almost putting up with as opposed to welcoming and celebrating. It's a very low bar. And it's also a bar that we haven't reached, that we have to jump to try to grasp just that low level of tolerating people who are different and not feeling threatened by people who are different in their religion, their ethnicity, their sexuality, their gender. We look at differences as if they threatened us instead of potentially enriching us. And it's very puzzling to me. I understand that everybody and every society does some kind of us and them where I'm normal and, well, at least you're suspect. But fortunately, Danzig didn't see me pointing to him, so it's okay. But as low a bar as toleration is and tolerance is, it's one that we should at least be making steps towards, to see the humanity in other people, to look around the world and not feel angered and pushed away by the fact that people are different. We look at the various religions, and as a Unitarian Universalist, I'm honest to God. Okay. I'm honest to source of being puzzled by why somebody else's religion should threaten me. Now, I know technically why, because if they're right and I'm wrong, that has major consequences. So people of every religion go, well, I've got to be right, because if they're right, then I'm going to hell, and that sounds really unpleasant, although I suspect you meet the best folks there. But really, why does somebody else's religious belief or faith trouble me in any way? Actions can trouble me. I can look at nut jobs across every political religious spectrum and be troubled by what people do. And you can make the argument, though I think it's a difficult one to make consistently, that faith informs the actions fairly constantly of the faithful. I suspect that if many of the faithful were really informed by what they say they believe, they would live somewhat different lives. So when somebody comes up with a religion that I find remarkable, why not be interested in it? Why not look to see what's nourishing, not just look to see what might be toxic, or not look to see how I can condemn them for their irrational and crazy faith? Try to remember that the definition of religion is crazy cult plus time. Once your crazy cult has been around 1,000 years, you're a religion and you're mainstream and you're totally cool. You know, another 500 years, even Unitarian Universalists will be cool and mainstream. Both of them. I thought that was a laugh line. Just a second. Come on, I even rehearsed the timing on that. Should I try it again? 500 years from now, even Unitarian Universalists will be mainstream. Both of them. Oh, now you're early. I give up. The whole idea of what we do around religion and politics and race and ethnicity and class being turned off by difference instead of wanting to go to the other and see not just what's toxic, but what's nourishing. To learn to include, to be able not simply to tolerate, but to celebrate is something to which we should aspire, something to which I aspire and am not perfect in, because I can still be turned off by surface and appearance and label. But as an act of will, we can get past much of this stuff. This coming election, and I don't know if you've noticed there's going to be an election, is the way things are looking right now, it's the M&M, and I'm not talking about the rapper, it's the M&M election. It's the Mormon against the perceived Muslim. And this is craziness. Why should anyone care that someone is Mormon? Why should anybody care, even if Obama were a Muslim, if he were a Muslim? Why don't we take people at their words about what they believe and what their religions are and what their values are and not get stuck by the labels? To me, this is just madness. It's very clear that there are droves of people who are flocking not to vote for Mitt Romney because he's a Mormon. And Mormons believe crazier things than they believe. No, newer things than they believe, in my view. To vote against him because he is a Mormon is, to me, a kind of hate crime. You can vote against him because you don't like his policies. You can vote against him because you don't like his hair. But to vote against him because of what you think others in his religious faith hold isn't really fair. To vote against Obama because you think he's a Muslim, where that's really, in a lot of ways, a code for people who suspect that he's black, we smear people with all different kinds of labels and accusations that shouldn't be smears. Just this morning, another one of those before church stories, Marlies hands me something just completely filled with hate. No, it wasn't a personal note from her. This was something that was left on her car about how the Pope is undermining all of America, and JFK was assassinated by Jesuits, and all of the garbage of Catholics not being Christian, which really is going to put the right wing in a terrible position, because they got Santorum a Catholic and Newt a Catholic, and maybe they'll vote for the Muslim. Nah, that's not going to happen. We are so filled with anger and hate at all of these different groups. And I get it and I don't get it. Why somebody thinks this stuff is real or important is just fixing our mental sets on these things. We all want to put ourselves and our group at some advantage and put the other group at a disadvantage. So that is that crazy Mormonism of Mitt, and that is, but why would we do that? Why would we, even assuming that Obama were a Muslim, why would we care? I know how we do the hate talk. We do the hate talk by saying, well, what's the face of Islam in America? Well, the face of Islam is Osama bin Laden and Ahmadinejad. And the face of Christianity is Mother Teresa and the Reverend Bill Moyers for speaking, batting for the Protestants. And just really Einstein for the Jews, and And, well, it used to be Thomas Jefferson for the Unitarians, but we're questioning that, so we'll stick with Albert Schweitzer for the Unitarians. We all want to put forward our best against somebody else's worst. But it could just as easily be Ibn Sina, Averroes for the Muslims, and Torquemada for the Catholics, Calvin for the Protestants, Thomas Jefferson, P.T. Barnum for the Unitarians. Actually, he was a Universalist. I know Ed will correct me on that. We pick and choose the people we want to represent us and the people who we make represent that other group. And the framing of this allows us to rationalize intolerance. It allows us to just step away from that other and see them as something that is utterly foreign. And that's just not right. When we get past this religious part of the upcoming contest, which to me should have no bearing at all, Newt does not represent Roman Catholicism. Mitt does not represent Mormonism. They are individual human beings with actions and histories and records and values. And we need to deal with people as individuals. The other intolerance that we are seeing come up at this election cycle, of course, is around sex, sexuality, and even, can you believe, gender. That we're talking about issues of a woman's right to choose, reproductive health issues, a woman's right to choose the number of children she'll have, a woman's right to have contraception. We're talking about this. This is 45 years after I was a volunteer at Planned Parenthood doing counseling in an age when women had to come in with notes saying, I'll lose my mind if I have this child. Well, all of you who've had children know that that's true, and every woman can write that, and any dad that's paying attention too. But now in Arizona, there's legislation saying, well, I'm taking birth control, but it isn't for birth control, it's for a medical issue. This is crazy, demeaning, dark ages stuff. And this is not political. This is about an ethical issue about women as full human beings, citizens, and participants in this country. This is about whether we tolerate people who want to have control and power and judgment and responsibility in their own lives. And there are whole flocks of people who say that you're really not a full human and you really are a weirdo at best and a pervert at worst if you make sexual choices or your sexuality is different from what I say the standard, the normal, the moral, the godly choice is. It's not just Santorum. It's all throughout the conversation, mostly by men, but by some women, because there are always people who go along with this. And it is about the intolerance towards the other, and it's astonishing to me that women are an other again after all of the progress that we seem to have made over the last 40 years. Doesn't mean everybody has to have exactly the same values and make exactly the same choices. I'm not saying that my liberal line and my values are better than your values if you have questions about some of these issues, but is it possible to carry on conversations as reasonable and respectful people about our differences and about who we are in terms of sexuality, in terms of ethnicity, in terms of religion, all of those things that we use to keep ourselves apart. and that society, and this is not a conspiracy, this is an observation, that society seems to use in order to keep us apart and therefore not powerful. If we cannot get together and link hands together across a lot of the divides that we use, then we will remain weak and segregated and separated. And that, in my view, is not a good way to live. We come together not because we are the same, not because we are in agreement, but because we believe that we give each other inspiration, occasionally correction, and that together we make a difference. So intolerance of the other is a huge problem, but so is tolerance of the intolerable. So is tolerance when we tolerate the racist joke, the sexist joke, the queer joke, and we don't want to say anything because if I object to some joke at the expense of another group, well, maybe I become suspect and somebody will think, well, what's wrong with you, John? Are you just insensitive and just so politically correct that you have no sense of humor? I've never been accused of having no sense of humor. I've been accused of having a perverted sense of humor and an appropriate sense of humor, but not no sense of humor. But there are so many times when silence connotes assent. When somebody says something and we flinch but don't say kindly, was it your intent to hurt? Was it your intent to demean? Was this your insecurity speaking, or was this some deep value that you have that doesn't see the other race, ethnicity, religion, sexuality, gender, class as a full human being? There we have, not just like all those other religions, we have a responsibility to get beyond beliefs and turn them into actions, sometimes words, often helping hands, but to try to, as best we can, live our faith and witness, there's a religious word, witness to our values in some affirmative way. There are things that, a lot of things we shouldn't tolerate. We shouldn't tolerate in silence the broken promise to education in California, the broken promise of a social safety net in this country, the broken promise of an armory that shuts down when the wind and the cold and the rains come. And, bless you, we didn't. The armory had to close until people in this congregation and in Fullerton said, why? Why now? Why does it have to close this week when it's cold, when it's raining, when those hungry and homeless and some mentally disordered people are out on the streets? And you know what? The armory is staying open because people noticed, bestirred themselves, and witnessed their values, not simply Unitarian Universalists, but people of faith and non-faith across this community. And it's an example of two things. It's an example of making a difference, and it's an example of saying, you know, look, when I see the homeless in the streets, I have the same thought of, I want to step away, I want to cross to the other side of the street, I don't want to look in their eyes. I don't want to inhale. I don't want to see that I'm a step away myself, that I share a humanity that is fragile, that I too can be broken and I too can be broke. And so we turn away often. The instinct is not to see, but by an act of examined values and an act of will, we can say, in the words of the song, hello in there. We can look and seek the humanity in the other, not just leave them on the street, but actually witness to something, actually try to change. That it worked this time is good and should reinforce all of us every time we see an injustice and hear an injustice to stand up and do something. But even if it had not worked, the effort of being true to our examined values is worthwhile. It is a step towards not tolerating the kind of disregard for other human beings that we should not tolerate. So when you go home and they ask, what did he say on tolerance? Is he for it or against it? The easy answer is not he's for it, and the easy answer is not he's against it. It is, as with all of our virtues and vices, a question of where the door is. The word cardinal doesn't simply mean red. It comes from an old word for hinge. And the idea of there being all of these deadly cardinal sins, all of those sins were good things in one position and bad things in another. So that eros can become lust. Eros is romance, and lust is the consuming of another person. Appetite can become gluttony. Rest and relaxation can become sloth. Righteous indignation can become depersonalizing wrath. All of our virtues can be vices. So tolerance is a question always of examining ourselves, examining our values, and looking for that moving balance between reaching for tolerance as a goal and a first step towards full acceptance and ultimately celebration, or tolerance can be quiet and passivity in the face of evil. The problem with ethics, the problem with morals, the problem with religion is it's not simple, and we stay responsible for the imperfect choices that we make in an imperfect world, but they are choices that we are called upon to make because we are thoughtful and we are free and we are powerful.